Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terrents fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willst, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, salam and peace of Allah be upon you all on this day. Today is the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Muhammad al-Baqir, peace be upon him. Our heartfelt condolences to you and all the Shia Muslims all around the world.
علوم عالم عالم آل پیامبر قربت و مظلومیت رو برده ارث از بابا هی.
Today, Sunday, is the 7th of Zilhijjah, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 27th of Tir, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 18th of July, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Dear brothers and sisters, we offer our condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Muhammad al-Baqir, alayhi salam. Imam Baqir himself wrote in his will that his demise should be commemorated in Mina for 10 years. This is unprecedented among our imams. Commemorating Imam Baqir means commemorating the revival of the noble Islamic movement in the face of efforts that had been made to distort Islam. Cultural struggle means endeavoring to change the culture that rules over people's mind. Thus, they can pave the road for divine governance and close the road to the tyrannical governance. Imam Baqir alayhi salam initiated this movement. This is what Baqir al-Ilm means. He was the one who split open the Quranic facts and Islamic knowledge. Islam wants to manage people's affairs in both this world and the hereafter. It wants to take on the task of helping men reach perfection, as well as taking on the task of managing people's everyday affairs. This is the meaning of imamate. The Holy Prophet himself was an imam in this sense, as it has been cited by Imam Baqir in Mina, when he shouted among the crowd, "Truly, the Holy Prophet himself was an imam. He was both a prophet and an imam. Imamate is leading people in religion and everyday affairs." Dear listeners of today's special, condolences to the Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, and his Ahlul Bayt on the martyrdom of Imam Baqir alayhi salam.
Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi-nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the martyrdom of the fifth infallible Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam. First of all, it must be indicated that Imam Muhammad, the fifth infallible Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam, exerted a profound influence in Islamic history and culture. Although all of the infallible Imams were infallible and with respect to infallibility, there was no I mean, no difference among them. However, the time and the life and times of Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam proved very significant. First of all, it must be indicated that when Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam was at the age of four, he participated in the Battle of Ashura. I mean, at that time, he was a boy at the age of four. And he was together with the rest of the Ahl al-Bayt on Ashura, and he was one of the survivors of the Ashura incident, of the Ashura episode. So among those people who quoted for us, who related for us various scenes of Ashura, Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam is one of the most authoritative personalities. This is one. And another point is that he was the son of the fourth infallible Imam, Ali ibn al-Husayn, salamullah alayhi. So in the long list of the authoritative personalities who memorized and who communicated as-Sahifat al-Sajjadiyya to the posterity, we can certainly mention Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam as one of the authoritative personalities in relation to the authenticity of the prayers indicated in as-Sahifat al-Kamilat al-Sajjadiyya. Another one in this regard is that in the time of the fifth infallible Imam, Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam, we find that at that time the Umayyad dynasty was on the decline, and at that time the Abbasids were not in power, precisely in power. So in that period of lack of any authoritative political power, the fifth infallible Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam seized the opportunity and spared no efforts to educate scholars. And this was a great academic revolution led and directed by Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam at that time.
Reasons for the murder of the Imam. The Umayyads murdered the Imam, peace be on him, Imam Abu Ja'far al-Baqir, peace be on him, had the highest character in the Islamic world. All Muslim religious scholars from all countries came to him to learn his sciences and his morals, for the Imam was the most prominent figure in the family of the Prophet. May Allah blesses him and his family. Hence, the Imam's high social rank displeased the Umayyads. Accordingly, they decided to murder him to get rid of him. Among the reasons that moved the Umayyads to kill the Imam, peace be on him, were the events that Imam faced in Damascus. The Imam exceeded the Umayyads and other in shooting. That was when Hisham, the Umayyad caliph, summoned the Imam to compete with the Umayyads and other for shooting. Hisham thought the Imam would fail in hitting the target. Thus he would be able to use the Imam's failure as means to degrade the importance of the Imam and to mock him before the Syrians. However, the Imam shot and hit the target several times. The people had never seen such skillfulness in the world of shooting. Hisham was full of anger. So he decided to murder the Imam from that moment. The Imam also debated with Hisham on the affairs of imamate. The Imam, of course, defeated Hisham seriously, so the latter was full of malice towards the former. Even the Imam debated with the scholar of the Christians on certain affairs. The Imam also defeated the scholar. All this caused Hisham to martyr the Imam. Dear Shia brothers and sisters, please accept our heartfelt condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Muhammad al-Baqir. Inna yawm al-Husayn aghraha jufunana asbala dumu'ana wa adhalla azizana bi ardh Karbala qala maulana ar-ridha wa rawa ibn al-Shabib inna jaddi al-Husayn ma taqad shan al-gharib tarakuhu fil-ara damiyan jism al-salib
إن أعظم المصاب قد جرى يوم التفوف مذبغ السبت فريدا جائرا بين الألوف هرموه بالسهام غطأوه السيوف رحم الله من ناداه وحسينا.
I invite you to listen to a short part about the role of Imam Muhammad al-Baghir, peace be upon him. Every Imam strove to preserve Islam, spread the teachings of religion. Imam Muhammad al-Baghir proceeded on this path through these measures. Number one, intellectual and doctrinal reform. The Imam refuted the concepts which the deviant groups spread, such as the exaggerator and the heretics. This contributed to making some of them repent. He also arranged gatherings for discussion with people of other religions and with Muslim scholars with different viewpoints. Number two, establishment of the seminary of the household. The Imam was able to clearly display that the household of Prophet Muhammad were the true source of knowledge. He established a seminary for teaching Islamic jurisprudence. Thousands of scholars from different Islamic sects and the most prominent of Shia transmitters of narrations graduated from this seminary. And number three, political activity. The Imam, Imam Muhammad al-Baghir, peace be upon him, pursued an indirect method in opposing the ruling political system. He did this through teaching people to know their roles and duties in their current circumstances. He followed the process of enjoining righteousness and forbidding evil through spreading correct political concepts.
One day a man, he came and he called the Imam Baqara. The Imam is Al-Baqir. He came and he called him Baqara, he cow, Baqara. The Imam alayhi salam, he did not reply in a negative way, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Idfa' billati hiya ahsan as-sayyi'a fa idha alladhi baynaka wa baynahu 'adawatun ka'annahu waliyyun hamim." Repel evil with good. The Imam said, "If I have done anything wrong, then I ask Allah to forgive me. And if you have done anything wrong, then I ask Allah to forgive you." That man, right away he was struck. He is trying to humiliate the Imam. But the Imam replied in that way. Hisham ibn Abd al-Malik, the caliph, he called Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam all the way to Sham. He wanted to harass the Imam. He made the Imam leave Medina and come all the way to Sham. Imam al-Baqir came with his son, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. They came together. Hisham, he did not allow Imam al-Baqir and Imam al-Sadiq to sit. He kept them standing outside. And then after several hours, he tells them, come, but he doesn't allow them to sit. During that time, there were several generals of the army of Hisham ibn Abd al-Malik that were shooting arrows. They were shooting arrows on the target, archery. Hisham ibn Abd al-Malik, he wants to humiliate the Imam. He wants to see, let me catch him in something that he doesn't know how to do. He tells him, "Oh Muhammad, I want you to shoot an arrow. I want you to shoot at the target." Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, he tells him, "I've grown old. I've grown old and this is not something that I've grown doing." He tells him, "No, you have to shoot." So Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, he takes an arrow, he pulls the string and he shoots it and it goes right in the middle of the target. And then he tells him, shoot another one. And then he shoots a third and a fourth until 9 arrows. And they all hit the target. And then Hisham, he tells him, "You said you didn't know. How is it that you shot all of them and you were able to hit all of them?" The Imam tells him, "This is the kamal. This is the completeness that we have inherited from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. This is what the imama is. Where we inherit everything. We are complete in everything that we do." So then Hisham, he tells him, "Can your son Ja'far," referring to Imam al-Sadiq, "can he also do the same thing?" Imam al-Baqir tells him, "Yes, he could also do the same thing." This is something that we inherited from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. This is something that Allah has given us. And he recited these verses from the Quran, وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا. He recited to him that this is a position, the position of imam is not just a normal position. Not anyone could come and say, I'm an imam. You have to be appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to receive that guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Ya Abu Ja'far, Ya Muhammad ibn Ali, Ayyuha al-Badr, Ya ibn Rasulullah, Ya Hujjat Allah ala khalqi, Ya Sayyidana.
We pay our deepest condolences on the occasion of martyrdom of Imam Muhammad al-Baqir, peace be upon him. Fi amanillah.
Food for thought.
Hello dear listeners, and since today is the 7th of Zilhijjah, the anniversary of the martyrdom of Imam Muhammad Baqir, peace be upon him, we offer you condolences and present you a mind-stimulating saying from the Prophet's 5th infallible successor. Laziness harms both the worldly and the religious affairs.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear brothers and sisters, welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. First and foremost, we would like to send our condolences to the Imam of the time, Imam Sahib al-Asri wa al-Zaman, and to all Muslims throughout the world on this, the martyrdom anniversary of Imam al-Baqir, the 5th Holy Imam, alayhim as-salam, the Imam who is buried in the cemetery of Baqi. And we hope and we pray that one day we are able to visit that cemetery in peace without being harassed. And hopefully, you know, the Imam alayhi salam, or the Imams at Abir in Baqi will get the honor and the dignity that they deserve, just like the rest of the family members of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are buried in the other parts of the Muslim and Arab world. I mean, if you look at the shrines and the mausoleums of the Imams in Iran and in Iraq, we hope and we pray that one day, inshallah, that splendor, that grandeur is given to four Imams that are buried in the graveyard and in the cemetery of Baqi. So this beautiful tradition from Imam Baqir alayhi salam speaks about three things: that if a person has them, they break his back. Basically, it renders him invalid. It's like you're just, you know, counting things that, you know, as virtues when they're actually not. They are just, you are just creating problems for yourself, even though you may not see it. So the Imam alayhi salam counts. He says three things break the back of a person. He said one of those things is that a person who counts his actions as being a lot. This, you know, kind of invalidates you, makes you null. Because who are you to say whether these are accepted or not? You are not the one in charge of it. You may think that you are doing something or doing a lot, but in fact you have nothing to show for it. That's the first one. The second one is a person who forgets his sins. Now, forgetting sins has a positive meaning as well. But here the Imam is trying to show that a person, you know, that a person just completely ignores his sins. He doesn't even pay attention to them. He doesn't learn from them. This is what it's trying to show here. Not forgetting sins, because there is a positive meaning to this as well. And the third one is a person who is completely satisfied and, you know, self-absorbed in his own opinions. That he is so self-absorbed in his own opinions that he does not take the opinions of others into consideration. This person and or people who have any one of these three, the Imam says that they have broken their own backs. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to refrain or to take these attributes, or if we have these characteristics, away from us. And, you know, they are replaced with better characteristics. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hopefully one day give us the ability to visit the grave and the cemetery of Baqi, insha'Allah, in peace, in tranquility. So we may go to the grave of Imam Baqir alayhi salam and read the Fatiha and the Ziyarah without being disturbed, insha'Allah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by our Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum to all the dear brothers and sisters who are listening to this program. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is all mine, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. In this series, at first, we all are going to listen to a recitation of the Noble Quran recited by a famous reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation, and at the end, we are going to listen to a short speech about the Noble Quran. Stay tuned, dear audience. We'll be right back. Dear audience, today we all are going to listen to the recitation of an Indonesian reciter, Sheikh Muammar Zainul Abidin. He's going to recite Surah Al-Fatiha.
وإياك نستعين
Dear audience, you're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, and you just listened to the recitation of the Indonesian reciter Sheikh Muammar Zainul Abidin reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Just like you said at the beginning of, actually before we listen to this recitation, when you introduced this reciter, you said that he's from Indonesia. He's an Indonesian reciter. He has a very good voice.
Yes.
And in general, reciters from Indonesia, they have a really high-pitched voice.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a very high-pitched voice compared to reciters from other places, such as Iran or Egypt.
They can have Jawabul Jawab.
They have Jawabul Jawab. They have very high-pitched Jawabul Jawab. And this reciter, he has a very good tajweed, Mu'ammar Zain al-Abidin. It's not just, you know, his voice.
And his long breath.
And his long breath. To say nothing of his long breath. He also has good tajweed. And he recited the second verse of this surah until the end of the verse, verse 2 of Surah Fatiha until verse 7 with one breath. Mm-hmm. At least it seemed to be one breath. Surah Al-Fatiha is the only surah where the Bismillah is written as verse 1. Mm-hmm. Okay? In other surahs, even though we consider the Bismillah as part of the surah, and we say that if you recite the surah without Bismillah, you have missed one of the mm-hmm. verses of this surah. Mm-hmm. But in the Quran, in the Qur'ans that we have, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is the first verse of Surah Al-Fatiha. And everyone agrees that this is the first verse, and it should be written as the first verse.
But other surahs, actually.
Even though the Bismillah is part of the surah, it's not written as the first verse. Mm-hmm. That's one point. And the importance of Surah Al-Hamd, or Surah Al-Fatiha, it's more famous. Surah Al-Fatiha is the more famous name of this surah, is that we have to recite the surah in our salah, mm-hmm. in our prayer. Right. So it's very important that we recite this surah with good tajweed. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, in prayer, we have been told that we have to recite Hamd, or Surah Fatiha, and the surah, which is a surah other than Surah Fatiha, with good tajweed, with an Arabic accent.
Yes.
So let's talk about some of the rules of tajweed in this surah.
Good idea.
Alhamdu ha. This is very important. Probably the most important thing as far as tajweed is concerned is makharijul huruf. Mm-hmm. Being able to pronounce the letters from their correct places of articulation. Yes,
that's it.
So even if you, for example, don't know about the rule of idgham or idhar or ikhfa of nun sakina or mim sakina, you have to at least know the makharij al-huruf, mm-hmm. because it's very basic. Alhamd, ha is pronounced from deep in the throat, from the pharynx. The pharynx wall is narrowed down. Mm-hmm. And we have this constriction in the throat. So we say ha,
ha,
alhamdu. And this characteristic of ha is known as buha. But it's important to realize that buha of ha should not be exaggerated to such an extent that it sounds like
a kha
gets really close to kha. For example, alhamdu.
That is not too deep, actually.
Yeah, it should not be too deep.
Yeah.
And of course, not too little. Alhamd. If you say alhamdu, that's not enough duha. Lillahi rabbil alameen. Ayn is also a very important letter that we have to pronounce from the correct place of articulation.
And could you talk about it?
The place of articulation in ha and ayn is exactly the same.
Uh-huh.
But they're different. What's the difference? The difference is that ha is voiceless while ayn is voiced.
Mm-hmm. We
have vibration of the vocal cords. If you touch your throat and you pronounce ah, 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 you feel the vibration of the vocal cords. But for ha, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
There's no vibration. That's the difference. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Now, another tajweed point, which is actually at a next level, you know, it's a level higher than makharij al-huruf, is tafkhim of the letter ra.
Mm-hmm.
Ra should be pronounced with thickness. Oh, okay, with velarization.
With a full mouth,
right? A full mouth with the back of the tongue raised. Ra, ra, ra.
Ra.
We don't say, for example, ra. Rabbil alameen, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Yeah, this is in case when we have actually a fatha.
Exactly, that's the point. You have to actually know when to pronounce Ra with Tafkhim. Another one is in Ihdina Sirata al-Mustaqim. The Ra in Sirata. And the Ta has to be pronounced with Tafkhim. And also Shadda. Shadda and Jahr.
With Jahr, it's a voice. Woman, it is voiced.
Ihdina Sirata al-Mustaqim. Mustaqim. The Qaf has a very low level of tafkhim.
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't say mustaqim. That's incorrect. And of course, then we have walallin, which is maddul lazim, which you have to lengthen to 6 vowel counts.
Thank you, dear Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. And now the third part of the program, let's recite the Quran. We all are going to listen to a short speech by Dr. Shomali, talking about the Noble Quran. Let's enjoy it.
There is a beautiful hadith from, I think it's from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Which says, "Hurmatul Quran ala Allah ka hurmatil walid ala al-walad." The respect that the Quran has with Allah means how much Allah respects the Quran. If you want to understand in human, you know, sense, okay? If you want to compare it. Of course, Quran is not a human being and Allah is not a human being. But if you human beings want to understand, you try to compare and liken everything to your own relations. So if you want to understand how much Allah respects the Quran, you can liken this to the respect that a person has for his parent, like father. A good mu'min, not, you know, impolite children, a very polite, well-educated, nice person, how much he respects his father or mother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has such respect for the Quran. Again, Allah is not human being, Quran is not human being, but just for you to understand, which means maximum respect that you should, even, you know, you should not go or walk in front of your father. Yeah, when you are, you know, walking, you should not go in front of your father or mother. Or, for example, if there is food, you should not, you know, take the food before your father starts. Okay? Everything, you have to be very respectful. So this is how much Allah respects the Quran.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, what you just listened to was a short speech by Dr. Shomali, and that was the final part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Click on the tab Call of Islam on the top right of the page, and there you can have access to all our programs as well as the other programs of the radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
منان سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن
The Ocean of Dua.
Allah
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل النقام اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تغير النعام
اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل النقام O Allah, forgive me for the sins which bring down adversaries. In order to have a clear understanding of the sins that bring down adversaries, let's refer to the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt. In a valuable and noteworthy tradition, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam mentions 9 sins that bring down calamities. They are rebellion, violating people's rights, mocking Almighty Allah's servants, breaking promises, evident wrongdoing, scattering lies, passing judgment in contrast to Almighty Allah's rules, not paying zakat, and at last shortening the measures. These are 9 sins mentioned in this tradition. The first one is rebellion, or baghi. The Arabic word baghi simply means trespassing Almighty Allah's rules and himself, actually. So, by trespassing his rules, the person violates others' rights. He causes corruption, wrongdoing, and adultery. It is used in all its meanings in the Quranic verses. إِنَّ قَارُونَ كَانَ مِنْ قَوْمِ مُوسَى فَبَغَى عَلَيْهِمْ Qarun was of Moses' folks, but he oppressed them. Or in another verse we read, وَلَوْ بَسَطَ اللَّهُ الرِّزْقَ لِعِبَادِهِ لَبَغَوْا فِي الْأَرْضِ If Allah were to enlarge the provision for His slaves, they would surely rebel in the earth. Or when the disbelievers called Maryam and told her, مَا كَانَتْ أُمُّكِ بَغِيَّةٌ Nor was your mother a woman unchaste. So these are all the different probable meanings of the word baghi or rebellion. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated, "Inna asra' al-khayri thawaban al-bir." Surely, the righteousness that is rewarded the fastest is generosity to people. Wa inna asra' al-sharri iqaban al-baghi. And the wrongdoing that is chastised the fastest is oppressing people. This rebellion and baghi is also mentioned among the 6 attributes that a believer must not possess. In the traditions, the believers are ordered not to have these attributes: weakness and incompetence, stinginess, obstinacy, jealousy, and violating people's rights.
Oh, first of the foremost, oh, last existence after the last. Oh Allah, forgive me my such sins which tear away my safeguards. Oh Allah, forgive me my such sins as would bring down calamity. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins that would change your favor. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins that would hinder my supplications. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins which to sin misfortunes. Oh Allah, forgive my sins that suppress hope.
Oh Allah, forgive every sin that I have committed and every error that I have earned. Oh Allah, I seek to draw myself nearer to you through your invocation, and I pray to you to intercede on my behalf, and I beg you by your benevolence to draw me nearer to you and grant thankfulness towards you and inspire me to remember and to invoke you. Oh Allah, I ask you, begging submissively, humbly and awe-strickenly, to treat me with clemency and mercy, and to make me pleased and content with what you have granted me, and cause me to be modest and unassuming in all circumstances.
Now, speaking of violating the rights of people, since this was one of the other things mentioned in the tradition we had a look at, let's have a quick look at violation of the rights of people based on the traditions. The benevolent Allah has placed a set of rights that is payable to all people. These rights are necessary to be observed by the others in the society, and violating other people's rights is a sin, and violator is doomed to chastisement. We have, in different traditions, suggesting that the right of the parents on their children, the right of the children on the parents, the rights of relatives on each other, rights of the neighbors on each other, the rights of people on the government and vice versa, the rights of husband on wife, rights of wife due on husband, and rights of the subordinates on their superiors in terms of wealth and blessing, they are all mentioned in traditions, and most of them in the Holy Quran. But the most comprehensive and eloquent book on the people's rights is the Treatise on Rights of Imam Zayn al-Abidin alayhi salam. And dear listeners, brothers and sisters, by contemplating on this book of Imam Zayn al-Abidin alayhi salam, we can manage to know all the rights, and by reading them, by thinking on them, we can feel eligible to observe these laws. And violating any of the rights mentioned in the traditions or in the Holy Quran is an obvious sin and is followed by chastisement. Dear listeners, we will talk about the other sins that cause the adversaries to be brought down more in the next programs. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Stories from the past. Stories from the lives of the infallibles. Stories from different parts of the world. On the lantern.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, brothers and sisters. You are listening to The Lantern here on IRIB English Radio. It is not ethical, Islamically speaking, to be in a gathering where someone we know is being spoken ill of behind their back and for us not to defend them. What do I mean by this? Let's listen to an actual anecdote, an actual story, so maybe that would probably help us wrap our minds around this concept better, and we're going to be right back.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, dear friends of this program, Lantern, so welcome. We have an interesting story for today, so let's see what's the title. Being loyal to those not present. Being loyal to those not present is one of the most difficult of all the deposits. It is one of the highest tests of both character and the depth of bonding that has taken place in a relationship. This is particularly the case when everyone seems to be joining in on bad-mouthing and piling on someone who is not present. You can just speak up and say, "I see it differently," or "My experience is different," or "You may have a point, let's go talk to him or her about it." By doing so, you instantly communicate that integrity is loyalty, not just to those absent, but also to those who are present. All the people present will inwardly admire and respect you. I remember heading up a meeting in a large organization where the formal leaders were discussing various personnel issues. They seemed to be in complete agreement regarding the weakness of a particular individual. They even began to tell jokes and funny stories about this individual in ways they would never do to the person's face. Later, the same day, one of the executives came to me and said that for the first time he could now trust my expressions of appreciation and affection for him.